Blog Talk Radio.
Bread of life, shake down the glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, babe. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, are
all
things
that come in time. You are the
awesome. Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Jesus the Only Way radio blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We got a little late in starting out, but before we get started, Deacon Chapman, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes, I'd like to put a prayer up to the Father, especially about what's going on in the world, even in the Bay Area, all the shooting, killing, young lady got killed, and the thing in Orlando, Florida, that we need to love one another, come with peace with one another. But Almighty God and most merciful Father, who has given us a new commandment that we should love one another, give us also grace that we may fulfill it. Make us gentle, courteous, and forbearing. God, please direct our lives so that we may look to the good of others, not only in word but also in deed, and that we love and hallow all our friendships by the blessings of your Spirit. For his Jesus' sakes, who loved us and gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, Father, may the hatred stop. May we all become under one accord and one mind and one love. Bless Sister Faith and her station. Bless her program, Father. Bless those that speak on there as vessels that she has chosen to speak, Father, and that whatever is spoken, Father, even today or in the future or the past, has touched somebody's heart, Father, and opened it up, that they may see that love of one another and the love of God and his Son and through the Holy Spirit is the way and the only way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. And I want to add on to the fact that you were saying about to love more. I think when we love more, we are able to be open, to express more freely, to feel more deeply, and to live more fully. And I think the most greatest thing that we could ever do right now is to love more, just to love more, just to love more. And I thank you for that prayer, Deacon Chapman. Today, we will be speaking on group thoughts.
We're going to talk about love.
What is the cost of following Jesus? What does that mean to you? And when we read Luke 9:57-62, Luke records for us in this passage an account of three men whom Jesus met as he traveled along with his disciples. Two of these men declared that they wished to follow Jesus, to become his disciples. The other was one whom Jesus summoned to follow him. What immediately strikes you in the way in which Jesus handles these inquirers? And I think that this is Luke's reason for recording the details of this meeting. Most men with a cause are busy trying to recruit as many as they can. And a lot of times, most preachers are busy trying to get as many members for their church as they possibly can, with good intentions. Because when you have a church, my church is very small. We always want to have more members. And so when I think about Jesus, he's radically different in his approach. He seems to spend a great deal of his time trying to dissuade men from following after him, or at least that's what it looks like. And I just want to share with you in your heart, what does it mean to the cost of following Jesus? And Deacon Chapman, I'm pretty sure, and I know you have something to say on that part. What does that mean to you?
Well, what verse was that again? Because I missed it. I'm sorry. That was Luke what?
Luke 9:57-62.
Oh. Oh, okay. I got you. Well, the statement that you made about today trying to build mega churches and filling up their membership role. But Christ's mission was to build a body for the coming kingdom. And through that, in this day and age, is working through not only his teaching, but the Holy Spirit. Because once we understand who the Holy Spirit is, the church can really start being the agent of change in the world that God had originally designed. So we have to start and view the way God designed it. And Sister Faith, we should impact the world as God intended, because fellowship is huge in the Bible. Because some think that is a coming together for food, raffles, fellowship meetings, having concerts and balls, fashion shows. But no, it is to come to worship God in spirit and truth when we assemble ourselves together. Because I don't like to really talk about myself, but I'll say this. When I was growing up in Louisiana, the old folks used to say, especially my grandmother, you be prayed up once you go into the church, as they said, which I call the household of faith, that they'd go and sit quietly until the deacons get up and start open up the worship. But now we greet and meet. Because even some classes that I've taught, someone come in they hadn't seen in a long time, someone get up from their seat, go there and greet them. But after, you're supposed to be attentive, and you're supposed to be still. Now, in many congregations now, they have what they call a fellowship period for about 5 minutes. Everybody get up and greet each other, hug and all this. But these are the same people sometimes we see each and every day in the community, and we don't greet them in that same manner. And once we learn what the works of the Holy Spirit is, and because the Spirit gives us give us the power over sin and a power to live fruitful lives. And just what Jesus was, I think, was trying to get over to the men, and that, because he was actually in that Samaritan village, because you know Samaritan was half Jew, half Gentile. And he had with him his disciples James and John, and they even requested, God, Jesus, do you want us to command fire from heaven to come down, you know, to come down on and consume them, just as Elijah did? But Jesus didn't come to consume them with fire. He came to give them the teachings of the Father. Because he said, my doctrine is not of mine. When he was questioning, he said, it is the doctrine of the one that sent me, the Father. And so when he turned and he rebuked him, and he said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And this is what, back to your statement about the preachers, this is what they are responsible for, teaching God's word in truth, and only in truth, not their idea or worldly idea, but teach scripture. Don't just give a popular scripture and get up and give you a story. Read the scripture. Have the congregation read a scripture in unison. But a lot of ministers want to do it for memorization. And a lot of times I have noticed from that they have missed a word or two and threw the whole context of the scripture off. So if you don't have to get the context of scripture, it's just like they say speaking in tongues in Acts. But it says speak with tongues. It didn't say speaking in tongues, it says speak with tongues, even in the 10th chapter, in the 2nd chapter. And we have to go back and revitalize and revive ourselves in Scripture and see exactly what the Scripture said. Now, we have different interpretations in the NIV and the NLT, the New Living Translation, the New King James Version, New King James Study Version. But all that is to give us an understanding how we're supposed to strengthen ourselves in love and strengthen ourselves to the point where we're supposed to have this fellowship and not just be about us, about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and let the world see him in us and the power of the Holy Spirit guiding us. But I don't want to take up all your time, Sister Satan. Somebody else might ask.
Okay.
You know,
I was pondering on everything that you were saying.
Okay. Go ahead.
When it says for Jesus, when you think about what Jesus is saying, they are very strong. And when I was listening to what you're saying, and I'm listening to the scripture, and it's almost to the point where you have to give up everything. It will cost you everything to do what Jesus has asked us to do. And we have to commit ourselves completely to him and not to hold back. When he was stating about, he said, come follow me. And one of the disciples says, wait, I have to bury my brother. And Jesus said, your brother will bury itself. Come follow me. And so when it comes down to doing what Jesus has asked us to do, you have to give up everything. And yes, this life is going to be hard, but we have to do what Jesus has asked us to do and not to hold back. No earthly securities, no earthly ties, and no earthly distractions. And I think that's what Jesus is asking us to do, because he died on the cross for you and I. And we must count the cost. What does it cost for us to do? He gave his life up for all of us. What are we going to do for him? Because we're already living in freedom. So that's where I'm at on that part.
Well, you know, I very understand what you're saying, but also mm-hmm. we have to look at the priorities that these people, the disciples had, that they thought that family responsibility was more than following Jesus. And
exactly.
The thing about, okay, I'll give you this. John, when Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me, it's not that you have a physical cross, a physical wooden cross or metal cross, but what he meant that you would have commitment and dedication to him and his mission, which if the body of Christ, well, I'm gonna use the word church, if the church would go into the and teach the principles of Paul, starting from Romans to Philemon, Those are the foundation and the pillars, scriptures of the church of today. Now, mm-hmm. Jesus said he came for the lost house of Israel. And, but he will become return as the king of Israel and the savior of the Gentile church. See, because the Gentiles, God wanted the Gentiles to be a saved thing. But, okay, I know this may spark a conversation, what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
If all the Jews were converted into Christ, how would prophecy be fulfilled in Revelation? And you can detect that out of the book of Thessalonians, because they have to have unsaved Jews. Orthodox Jews are still looking for the Messiah. But God, through Jesus, blinded them to the point where now he would let the Gentiles come into the fold, and you will see that prophesied in the book of Isaiah 60 and 62, where the Gentile would see the light and also receive their righteousness. But for them to receive their righteousness, as any and many of us, we have to have faith and believe in the finished work of Jesus on the cross and of the work that his Spirit living in us and working through us for us to receive that righteousness. See? And see, we have people running around talking about Holy Ghost power. I'm filled with the Spirit. Okay, I can fill a jar up with water. It's filled with no lid on it. But once I put the lid and screw it and seal it, now that jar of water is sealed. That's what Paul was saying. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, but are you sealed with the Holy Spirit? Many today saying, preaching, you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation once God give it to you, because it's a free gift. Mm-hmm. Now, you can fall from grace as the Israelites backslid, but here's the thing about falling from grace. It is mean that you can fall away from loving God, but God will never fall away from loving you.
That's true.
You know. Because the Christian experience is really about truth and obedience, which God implemented that with the Israelites, but they failed. And that's why look at the hall of, what they call the hall of, in 11th chapter of Hebrew, the hall of faith. There was a mixture of people, you know, Gentiles. Rahab was not a Jew. Ruth was not a Jew, you know. And even Abraham was from Mesopotamia, from the land of Ur, a Chaldean, and he was a moon worshiper. But God called him to create his nation of Israel out of. And I'll let you expand on this just for a minute.
Okay.
Things that are going on in the Middle East now, if you go back and you study Genesis, you will see that Abraham had the first son by the flesh, Ishmael. Then Sarah had the son of promise to God. But to fast forward this, after she and they had Isaac had 12 sons, then God blessed Ishmael with 12 princes, 12 sons. And Keturah, his second wife, had 6 sons. So do the math on that. That's 30 sons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are blood relatives of Abraham, but they're fighting amongst themselves because of misunderstanding that they never got. Now, they have God in the Torah. In the Quran, because Ishmael seen Abraham worship to the one God. But and fast forward there, that one God, I'll expand on this. If we always saying and teaching and preaching one God, one faith, one baptism, why are there so many religions and denominations trying to explain to us who God is? And God explained to Moses, who he was. I am that I am.
Amen.
And And that was a promise. That was a promise when he told him to go into Egypt to release his people. Because I would say that that prayer of the Egyptian, of the Israelites in Egypt being persecuted by the Egyptians, the Pharaoh, mm-hmm. the fourth Pharaoh down from Joseph, God heard that prayer in the atmosphere, and he answered mm-hmm. that prayer. But he sent them there for 400 some years to grow and multiply, to come out to be a full nation for him. Because what, for some reason, evidently they didn't have the capability of multiplying in the Saharan desert, so he sent them into a new world, which Egypt was the world at the time, to fulfill and multiply and come out. Because you remember, midwives would not destroy the newborn babies that Pharaoh had ordered them to destroy, because they believed in God. They believed in the promise of God. And today, do we believe in the promise of God? Do we love God? Do we love God? And the thing about it is that there's so much to love. Love is peace. Love mm-hmm. does not envy. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love does not keep record of right or wrong. Love is not a delight in evil. Love rejoices in the truth. I could just go on. Love, the love of God protects us. Love is completely mm-hmm. trusting. But, okay, you say we trust God. But can God trust us? Love never ceases to hope. We have the hope of glory, of the coming, of the appearance of Christ, drawing his church from this earth, and then also the second coming as king, ruler of this world. So that means that love is always going to preserve. Okay, in say in the world today, mm-hmm. we have a problem. We don't have trust. And history has proven out that you may have a victory, but the victory of force does not last. It is love that lasts. Talk about in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, charity. Love is the thing that will last. Faith, hope, and mm-hmm. love. As believers, we are supposed to walk by that faith, walk by that love, walk by that hope. I know I put it backwards in there, because the hope. Do we still have hope? Because the holiness is seen to be dissipating in the church. Love is fading. And the church, to me, in certain instances, is dying slowly, because people are walking away. They don't operate in the gifts that they were given by the Holy Spirit. They mm-hmm. want to say that you got saved unless you speak in tongues, and I don't think that's a gift for everyone. And what we are supposed to do is walk by faith and not by sight, because during the time of Jesus' life on earth, they walk by sight and develop little faith. We are in today supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, but we believe in what the scripture has been written and placed for us as a surety of knowing what God's will is for man.
Amen.
And until the love of Christ is in the heart, it's going to be impossible for men and women to love one another with any degree of permanence. I know your time is running out. So forgive those friends that have misused you. Forgive those that have borrowed money and never paid you back. You know, just get into the atmosphere and the love of forgiveness.
That's right. Amen. And closing on this, when Jesus stepped out of his throne in glory to come to the earth and live and die for us, he left behind all that he had. He had changed wealth for poverty, out of the ivory palaces into a wool cattle shed. He exchanged rulership for servanthood. He also said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. The King of Glory, he had no place to call it his home. He had no earthly security. He was loaned accommodations by those who loved him. He borrowed a coin to tell a story. He borrowed a donkey to ride into Jerusalem and fulfilled a prophecy. He was even buried in a borrowed tomb. He had nothing. But here I see his glory shining. He gave us all when he came and stood by me. And so when I think about what Jesus has done, we have to be prepared for the same road, no earthly security. And I'm not saying because God wants us to have good things on this earth, but the most important thing that we should have is the security of God's faithfulness and a life beyond this one that nothing can take away. And so, to me, that means to walk the road, and it may cost you well. It will cost you everything. So you got to count the cost. What does it count for you? You have to count the cost. But in the scripture, it says, whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. And with that, we have come to the closing. And Deacon Chapman, can you close us out in prayer?
Oh, Father God, we thank you for this assembly today, Father. We thank you that your word was spoken and that it had may been an endeavor to some that have untruth, might have deceit in their heart. But, oh God, give us all the strength to keep our lips from speaking evil, speaking untruth. Give us the strength to react against anyone who insults us, because, Lord, we know it's not what's said or done to us that affects us, it's our reaction to it. Let our delight be into keeping your commandments of love, and help us to fulfill the understanding of your laws. Let us not walk in pride. Let us not develop wicked plans for those to seek harm to those who have harmed us. Grant us wisdom, patience, understanding, Lord. And most of all, God, continue your mercy and your compassion. Give to us the means to live. And, oh God, you are the one who established harmony in the creation of this world. And I ask that you continue to give us peace to mankind, and also to your chosen nation, Israel. Bless Sister Faith this day, Father. And may her program continue on, Father. And she have vessels on her program that will speak the truth and speak only the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
For all of you that's on the line, I thank you for tuning in with us. And God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Bread of life sent down to